This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Great to have you. As I'm fired up for this one, it's the Raiders at the Buffalo Bills coming up this Sunday. And what is another big opportunity for the Silver and Black to win a game on the road, get back to 500 on the season before the Raiders stay on the East Coast and go from Buffalo to Sarasota, Florida to train at the IMG Academy and then go into Miami to take on the Miami Dolphins the following Sunday night on Sunday Night Football. Pumped up because we have Steve Tasker, one of the great Buffalo Bills of all time, their greatest special teams player from CBS. He's going to join us. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. He called the last Bills game, their come-from-behind win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Romo. Bill Romanowski is going to check in. And Eddie Pascal, our Raiders insider, who joins us from Alameda. Before we get to the preview of Buffalo, I have to go back to Thursday Night Football and the Raiders win over the Chiefs 31-30. That was one of the greatest football games I've ever been to. Super Bowls, playoff games, it just had everything. I think it's on the Mount Rushmore of Raider victories in Oakland. Now, before I get too crazy, you have the Sea of Hands, you have the Heidi game, you have playoff victories and great games. But when you have games that end on untimed downs and then all of those penalties, and it ends on the last play of the game, and the Raiders win, prime time on national television, every Raider fan who was at the Coliseum that night will remember that game forever. I'm telling you, it had everything. And thank God the Raiders won that game, because that was a game late on that last drive that they had to get going, and they had to find a way to win. That's really been the issue this year. Can they find a way to win and build momentum? But just quickly on that last game, Amari Cooper had 11 receptions for 210 yards and two touchdowns. He was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Looking left as Derek now comes back right, now throws off the seam, caught, first down. Amari Cooper runs by everybody. Touchdown! Raiders! How fast was he?
Amari is back.
What have we been talking about on the podcast this year, and I've been doing it also on the radio, is how do you get Cooper going? He's had some drops. We get that. He's the best receiver, arguably, young receiver in the entire sport. You got to stay with him. Through his young career, he's got Raider records already. He's going to have a bad game here or there, but look at this, 210 yards. Keep going to him. And that offense exploded because Cooper had this legendary game. But it came down to that final drive, and a lot of things went right, went wrong. Cook at the goal line, they review it again. It was the wildest last few minutes I've ever seen in my life, but the Raiders found a way to win.
Derek going to roll left. Derek throws for the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by Michael Crabtree. The Raiders, and I think this time it counts.
There are no flags.
Knees and down, in play, in the end zone. Give it to me loud now. Touchdown, Raiders!
Greg Papa, Tom Flores, Lincoln Kennedy in a memorable game. And good to see Derek Carr have that moment in Oakland in a big spot like that on national television. Derek was fantastic. 29 of 52, 417 yards, three touchdowns in that game. And again, it was an iconic moment in his young career, and it was a must-win game. Now the Raiders are back in the national spotlight. The media is talking about him again as we get ready for this game against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, October 29th, Orchard Park. And Buffalo's playing great. Give Buffalo a lot of credit. Buffalo's winning football games. We'll get into that coming here. Just to set the tone for this game, a couple of the stats that jump out at you. The Raiders are 22nd in total offense. Buffalo is 25th. Buffalo is 29th in pass offense. They're only putting up 181 yards a game. That's a big story that we'll get into a little bit later on. Tyrod Taylor, really good quarterback, but if the Raiders can keep him in the pocket, I think they'll have a really good opportunity to force him to throw, and that'll play to the strength of the Silver and Black. And the Raider defense, the key is you look at the stats, 26th in total defense, 23rd in pass defense, but what I like about the Raider defense, with all the injuries and the guys who are stepping up, they're making plays. If they would have beat the L.A. Chargers, the defense played well in that game, we'd be talking about more momentum. But I think there's a lot of positive conversation on the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders. And hopefully They're finding their stride now, and they can get it going. This is another huge game, as the defense is also going to have to stop LeSean McCoy. The Raiders want Taylor to throw the ball. He's much harder to defend when he's scrambling, and Shady is a very good runner. McCoy gets better as the game wears on. Now, the Buffalo receivers, I think, are average at best, but make no mistake, Andre Holmes will want to have a big game. And the Raider offense will have to throw to be successful. Derek needs to continue to be efficient and run an up-tempo game. If they can mix in the run in this game, it'll be a really big deal with DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. Now, we got to get to the elephant in the room on Marshawn Lynch because of coming off the sideline and getting suspended in this last game. He won't be able to go. Jack Del Rio addressed it.
I was disappointed that he ran out because I knew that we had a 15-yard penalty and we were going to be in good shape. I didn't get a chance to, like, have a conversation about it. I told him, you can't leave the bench like that, and that was about it. Next thing I knew, he was being tossed. The ref told me that he actually had put his hands on him.
So Marshawn Lynch, after that game, a lot of media coverage. He took Bart home. He was in the crowd. Marshawn being Marshawn. Look, they're going to need Marshawn Lynch. He was brought in to be the hardcore running back, especially in the red zone. Very important that he comes back and he's ready to play. But Buffalo's front four on defense is very tough versus the run in the pass. So I think the Raider offensive line's got to have a big game and protect Derek Carr in this game. The special teams will be interesting. They have a really good kicker in Hauschka. If he gets over midfield, they think of putting up points, and the Raiders are going to have to match them. And overall, I think the Raiders start fast, play with the lead, and hopefully Todd Downing and Derek are on the same page again with this explosive offense, and the Raiders could put up a lot of points because Buffalo's better than I thought. I mean, did you really think on this podcast we'd be talking about Buffalo tied in the loss column with the New England Patriots? Those fans, the Bills, Mafia, the crowd, it's going to be as hostile as an outdoor Raider game that you'll see this year. The Bills fans are ready. Halloween and the Raider fans, as you know, are going to travel great. I'll be there for the whole road trip. I'm pumped up. Let's get going with this version of the podcast. And Chris Myers is first to join us from the NFL on Fox. And I wanted to have Chris on because he just called the game. The Buffalo Bills beat the Buccaneers 30-27 in one of the most exciting games last week. Chris, thanks for joining us, and you got to be excited. Last week, you had another big game on Fox.
Yeah, the games, thank you, JT, have been, that's all you ask for is, as a guy calling a game. You know, you prepare for both teams, and you hope it's competitive, and it's to the wire, and it's of interest for not only the fans of those teams, but NFL fans, you know, flipping around the dial. And I got to tell you that, you know, you think about how we thought before the season, the Buccaneers have been a disappointment, haven't lived up to the expectations so far. And the Bills have exceeded with first-year head coach Sean McDermott. I think they've surprised a lot of people, and there's a variety of reasons for that.
All right, let's talk big picture as we come in, because the Raiders playing there coming in on Sunday. First off, you know, it's a professional atmosphere working at Fox, but one of the most insane atmospheres in sports, the Bills Mafia outside there in the parking lot. I've had you outside in Oakland in the Black Hole. You know these stadiums. You know the fans. What's it like for Buffalo as you're driving into the game and these fans are believing that they're in it this year?
Yeah, well, I'll say it's a lot friendlier than the Black Hole in general. that's one quick comparison, but I'll tell you, JT, it's really unique in the sense it's got a little Green Bay in that you have neighborhoods and yards and barbecues and people playing, you know, cornhole and the signs up for Bills Mafia type of thing. And we lucked out in terms of the weather, even for October. It was, 70s and clear, and so we didn't have any rain or wind or the kind of snow that you can have through the course of the season. But I tell you what I noticed about the crowd, and I don't know if it's always been this way. Obviously, they've had that string of missing the playoffs from the heyday Super Bowl years. But what I noticed, as loud as the crowd is, there's a little bit like Seattle in terms of not as loud as they get, but how they keep their energy is up throughout the course of the game. And so it's always kind of buzzing. And they know, obviously, when their team is on offense, they ease up and then they make it difficult for the other team. But a constant flow, even when they're disappointed in some things. And so it's a really great, and it does, it's a professional and yet kind of that collegiate high school positive feel atmosphere for football. It really is enjoyable. I think even opposing teams can appreciate the terms of in terms of how devoted this fan base is and their audience, and thinking about how long they've been starved for a postseason team.
Chris Myers joins us from the NFL on Fox. We get you ready for the Raiders at the Buffalo Bills this Sunday, and it's Jack Del Rio versus Sean McDermott. Tell me about your pregame meetings with the broadcast team with Sean McDermott. You've sat down with Rex Ryan in the past and other head coaches for the Buffalo Bills. What was your big takeaway with their new coach?
Yeah, well, despite the personality, and I think McDermott is a much more quiet, low-key guy on the surface. He's that blue-collar work ethic guy, and I think that fits this environment and Buffalo for that reason. More about work, less about talk, but he does get out. Our analyst Daryl Johnston walks through the RV lot with him before the game. He goes early enough. He stays after to engage with the fans, and that's not just because now they're improved their record to 4-2, that he started out that way. He's a Philadelphia-rooted guy. His defense came under the pressure defense of Jim Johnson with the Eagles, and then he was in Carolina where he's really brought that same kind of defense from the Panthers that went to the Super Bowl. He's brought that here. He doesn't have a Luke Kuechly in the middle to kind of run things, but they are ferocious. They take the ball away. They work at that. They have an outstanding pass rush, a little thin in the secondary. His personality, though, and he lets his offense kind of do their thing. He's going against the trend, JT. He likes to run the ball, and with a versatile mobile quarterback, only throw when necessary. They're a little, unhealthy at receiver, and Charles Clay, their tight end, is out. But his personality is old school in the sense of play great defense, rely on your offense to control the clock and run the ball.
Chris Myers is our guest. Tyrod Taylor, what would you take away with him? Because if he's not turning it over and he's making plays, Chris, outside the pocket, he's one of the better-rated quarterbacks out there. What do you think the Raider philosophy is going to be? Try to keep him in the pocket, or Mac's going to be chasing him around all day? When he tucks and runs, he's very dangerous.
Yeah, and that's one thing that the Tampa Bay defense didn't do a good job with. They talked about it, but I think the Raiders, whether it's Mac or they use a spy, I think they have some of the speed on defense that they'll assign properly to stay with Tyrod Taylor. I was impressed in that he's still, for a guy who's backed up in Baltimore and now been given the contract as the guy instead of changing quarterbacks in Buffalo, I mean, he can throw it deep, the flick of his arm, and then obviously his decision-making, we saw it on the positive side of don't just run. He emphasized to us when we talked to him, hey, I want to be a pocket passer. That's my priority. I don't want to run, but my speed, I've got to break the back of defenses when I don't see anybody open, but I have to be more patient before making that decision. And he made good decisions against the Tampa Bay defense in that regard. And I'll tell you the surprise, Matthews coming back, a receiver, but picking up Deontay Thompson, which was under the radar. He was with the Bears earlier this year, cut and released. They just added him last week. The guy had over 100 yards and connected well with Taylor, and I bring that up because they were briefly together in Baltimore, and they built kind of a connection there. So that helped his confidence a little bit, I think, on throwing the ball downfield. He said his favorite throw is the deep ball. He loves to go for that, but that's maybe not his best move. It's still his best move is being able to throw on the run, and that'll be tough for the Raider defense because you also have LeSean McCoy, who's catching and running the ball very successfully for this Buffalo offense, which is going through a little bit of a transition on the style of running attack, and that's taken a while for McCoy to at least get in the end zone. He finally did last week, getting his first two touchdowns of the year.
Chris, we've been friends a long time. We've been to a lot of big games together, and you're on the field covering Super Bowls or in the booth for big games. This Raider victory against Kansas City was incredible. I mean, it was a Mount Rushmore game in the history of Oakland. You think of the Heidi game in the Sea of Hands. I get it. Bigger games, bigger names. But this game, to end on those plays with no time left and for Carr to keep battling and battling in a must-win game against Kansas City in the division, I think we all know where the Raiders are if they don't win the game. Now they have life going into Buffalo, staying in Florida before the Miami game. Assess what you think of the Raiders, especially the news that Marshawn Lynch will be suspended for this game against the Bills.
Yeah, no Marshawn, and it would have been interesting to see him return to his original team. I think we lose sight that the Buffalo Bills had him first. He had some issues there, and then he got a second life in Seattle, and now he's come back with the Raiders. I tell you, you hit all the key points. That was fascinating. It was one of the best games I ever saw for all the reasons you talked about with the Raiders being able to do what they did, and especially against a rival. One of the great rivalries. I know it's died a bit over the years, but still, when growing up, you and I, Chiefs, Raiders, I mean, it's right there with Cowboys, Redskins, Yankees, Red Sox, when you talk about other sports, Dodgers, Giants. So it meant a lot for that reason. And I'm a believer in Carr. I was crushed last year just as a football fan to see him not have the opportunity with that team last year to go further into the playoffs because of the injury. And then I was a little shocked about what was going on this year. I know there's a lot to work out defensively, but when you've got Carr and the kind of attitude, and we saw that, we saw that not give up fight to the finish when it was almost over and out, and to still pull it off against a very good football team. I got to tell you, as far as a regular season win, for just like you said, where they would have been had they lost that, that was as big as it gets maybe in the history of the franchise for that point of the season. And I think they have to build on that momentum and take advantage of a team that's, yeah, very good defensively, but if the Raider defense can force some turnovers, keep LeSean McCoy in check, and then also maybe keep Tyrod Taylor from having a big game, getting out of the pocket, forcing some turnovers there, no matter what the weather is. I just like Carr if it comes down to that matchup for the same reason we saw the Raiders pull that game off against Kansas City.
Chris, as we wrap this up, Kansas City's 5-2, then Denver's 3-3. They got shut out in Los Angeles against the Chargers. The Chargers have won 3 in a row. The Raiders coming off Thursday Night Football and that win. It seems to be pretty wide open there, but I think we still, even though Kansas City lost their last two games, got to make them the favorite in the AFC West. Do you see that division coming down still to the last week or two of the regular season?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that the Chiefs, because of what they've showed with balance, and Alex Smith is having an outstanding year, and their defense and the experience of Andy Reid, at least in terms of getting a team through the regular season. And that's why I point to the balance, because I still think the Raiders have to live by their offense and let that explode, try to outscore people until the defense catches up. The Chargers are back in it, and whenever you have Rivers, you have a shot. And their defense, I got to tell you, it's really come on in the last couple of games, as you said, shutting out Denver, and it makes them, and Rivers is even playing a little more, I don't want to say conservative, but maybe even for a veteran, wiser with the football and not taking as much risk. The Chargers have the Patriots this week, so that'll shake things up. But I almost put the Chargers ahead of Denver in that division alignment as we just counted through, and I think they're a major player because of their defense. It can be dominant enough to keep them in it, and then their offense has to catch up. So the division is still really wide open. I see the top two teams as the Raiders and Chiefs, as I saw it at the beginning. It just hasn't gone exactly the way we figured, but we're only at the halfway point. But I think that Raider win, for the reasons we talked about, can push them through the second half and at least keep them in the playoff run.
All right, my last question, I always ask it to our guests in this format, and your answer is going to be interesting to me from your ESPN days, your great transition to Fox, and all the big games. Do you have an Al Davis story? And I know you go way back in this industry, so it could have been from Canton, Ohio to an East Coast game. Give me your first message or time you've met Al Davis or heard of him or saw him at a game and saw that mystique with the silver and black.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different parts over the years and how well he treated me as an ESPN reporter when I first came out, and they were the LA Raiders. But his memory, just like you hear about it with players and scouts and coaches, I ran into him when I was a local reporter in New Orleans around Jim Finks with the Saints, covering the Saints, and he kind of was just kind of checking me out, watching practice, and talked a few things about football, almost like I knew who he was. But he was just talking football with me, and saw that obviously I had, you know, invested a life and a career in this business. And I didn't think much of it at the time, other than that, wow, as a local reporter, I got to talk to Al Davis. And he wasn't the warmest guy in the room, but he was Al Davis Raider tough, which is what I expected. And then years later, when I'm a reporter at ESPN covering football, he remembered that. And it not that we were best buddies, but I think he trusted me to cover a story, or at least for him to answer the questions I needed to do my job, whether they were on or off the record. And you remember that about people. You hear all the bad stories. But I saw a loyal guy, a smart guy, to somebody who wasn't a headliner. And you remember things like that.
Chris, your career continues to get better than ever and bigger, and I love the play-by-play work you do on Fox. Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
All right, anytime. Always enjoy talking football. In fact, all sports with you, JT. You take care.
Thanks again to the great Chris Myers, who's calling bigger and bigger games. He's a great friend, and I love seeing him on the NFL on Fox. Our next guest on the official Raiders podcast is a four-time Super Bowl champion, one of the most passionate people I know now as a broadcaster, former star linebacker, Bill Romanowski. Bill, thanks for coming on the official Raiders podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. How you doing, JT?
Couldn't be better. We were together right there in the tunnel as they introduced the defense on Thursday night. And as that game evolved against the Kansas City Chiefs, talk to me, Romo, about what you saw with the growth of this team and how they came together to win a must-win game.
What I saw was a mindset. This was a team that has struggled for 4 weeks. They lost their starting quarterback for one of those games. And the starting quarterback had a few bad games himself. This was a must-win game, and they needed to show up with a sense of urgency, a different attitude, and then basically go out there on the field, take it to a team that has beat their ass literally for about 4 years in a row, both games, and they had to take it to them, and they did. And it was a damn good football game.
Romo, what happened? You're around this team as much as anybody as an analyst, and it just seemed like Todd Downing and Carr weren't on the same page even before the back injury, and then they come back. Do you think that they started working more play action? They finally said, we got to get Cooper the ball. Even with the drops, we got to go down with our big guns. It looked like a different offense that was building confidence throughout the victory.
No, you're right. And what I liked about it, JT, is it wasn't about slant routes to Amari Cooper. It was, we're going to go long early. And sure enough, they did, and it worked out big. They threw the crossing route, which was fantastic, and he just outran the coverage. So Amari needed a game like that. That was a situation where he is too good to not produce at the level he's capable of. And when the juices are flowing, when Derek Carr is playing the way he needs to play, everybody on this team responds. And like I said, they had a mindset that they weren't going to get beat. They're going to take it to the Chiefs no matter what. And the ending kind of showed that. No way were they going to be denied.
Bill Romanowski joins us. Romo, on the Marshawn Lynch ejection, he won't play in Buffalo, as I'll be there this weekend. You are one of the more emotional big-time players to play in the modern era. Give me a big picture on Marshawn, the mistake that he made, costing his teammates an opportunity possibly in Buffalo, and what happens in a locker room and a team environment when that happens to one of your teammates?
I tell you what, JT, and I'm gonna throw a little more gas on the fire. His dancing on the sideline during the Jets game, the combination of that, I think that led to the Washington Redskins blowing out the Raiders and kicking their tails. And that was a national televised game, Sunday night game. Everybody was watching, and they did not show up. And I think what Washington did is they played Marshawn Lynch dancing in the fourth quarter while the game was still going on, and they played it every morning for their team to see. If I was Jay Gruden, that's what I would have done. I think they did it, and you saw a mindset when they took the field, and they completely kicked our butts. That set us back. Well, we got our mojo back. And Derek Carr is back, and now we got to put that back on. And with Marshawn hurting the team the way he did, it can't happen. This is a guy that has too much potential, and we need him in situations like a Buffalo game where it could be one of those hard-fought games where he is the difference if you need tough yards at the end of the game like he gave us during the Tennessee game.
NFL legend Bill Romanowski joins us. Romo, the signing of Navarro Bowman was a necessity. You know this defense, Gerrion Conley trying to get healthy. Obviously, Obi going to come off IR. What's happened up front with that defensive line, which I think is playing better, and the great Khalil Mack. Talk about how Bowman was able to digest that playbook that quickly, and now he's had an extra almost half of a bye week to get ready for Buffalo.
Yes, well, I think he put in a lot of time. You know, hey, I've never been in a situation where I had to learn a new scheme, you know, basically in a couple of days. I went through, at one point in my career, I had four different defensive schemes in 4 years, four different defensive coordinators, and I understand what it's like to adapt. I just don't know what it's like to adapt in 1 week, in 3 days, given what he was up against. I probably could do it. It's terminology. Raiders have a pretty simple defense, and then it comes down to understanding your role, and that's what he did. He understood his role, what he had to do for this football game, and I think leading forward, JT, this one's just going to get better and better and better, and he's going to show that he is the leader that this team has been missing on defense, and he'll add to what Khalil Mack brings as a sack master.
Have you seen enough of this defense with Bowman coming in and all the injuries and players needing to come off of the practice squad and the lack of depth now that they could still play? Romo, we talked. I think the defense is playing at a higher level than some people expected the last couple of weeks. The Charger loss in Oakland was brutal there, how it ended there, but at least the defense should have momentum in those team meetings, right?
Yeah, well, when you hold teams, JT, to under 20 points, you got to win those football games. And, you know, we were playing good enough where you hold some teams to under 20 points, your offense, and how I look at it, JT, is our team literally revolves around our offense kicking tail and going out there and scoring a lot of points because it's one of the most dynamic offenses in the league when they show up. Well, they showed up, and they showed it big time the other day. So that is a situation very similar to when I played in Denver with John Elway. We were always up, you know, 14 points in the game in the first half. So we basically were able to pin our ears back and know we could rush a team a certain way, knowing they had to pass to catch up to us. That is a situation that hasn't happened this year, but it needs to happen the rest of this season because that's going to take some pressure off of our defense.
Four-time Super Bowl champ Bill Romanowski joins us as we wrap it up. Romo, one more scheme question. The Bills come in 25th overall in offense, 29th in their pass offense, but everybody who's counted out this kid, Tyrod Taylor, he's getting the last laugh. He makes plays outside the pocket. What do the Raiders need to do? Teach us about scheme when you want to keep a guy like this in the pocket, knowing that he's going to run for first downs or actually make better plays passing outside the pocket.
You know what? That's a situation where you got to be very detailed the way you rush him. And that's one thing where I know our defensive coaches have studied him, knowing what pockets you need to make sure you keep him in and you want him to throw certain ways. And that's a situation where when you're blitzing, when you're rushing, you know. You do not take that inside move and do not let him get to the outside if that's a strength of his. That's something where our pass rush needs to dictate that, and that's something that you got to be really detailed, and that's where, you know, the football smarts come in, where you have to put the team ahead of your stats. And if they do that, I think they'll be fine.
Romo, I'm proud of you because you always treat the Raider fans at the highest level. You got fans all around the world as a football player. I turned on the TV to see the Dwight Clark ceremony, and I saw you out there, and I was proud of you there because all of your relationships mean so much to you. And walk me through that moment as Joe Montana got to the microphone. You're out there with your former teammates, and what Dwight Clark meant to you as you were looking up to him.
Well, I had seen him 6 months ago, JT, and Dwight Clark was fine, talking, moving, walking. He was a little tired at the end of the night, but it was still a situation that he was fine. Well, to see his regression on where it is, you know, it's something we realize that on the field, JT, we sometimes feel like we're immortal, that nothing can hurt us when we have those shoulder pads and helmets and, you know, 20, 25, 30 years removed from the game, you realize that the game takes a toll on certain guys. And, you know, it definitely took a toll on him. ALS is something that nobody has beat, not the best Warriors competitors on this planet. And Dwight Clark was one of those guys, an undersized, slow, white receiver that dominated in the National Football League for a lot of years. And, you know, it's really sad to see this happen to such a great guy.
Thank you, Romo. I always appreciate your time. I'll see you on the field soon.
Okay, take care, JT.
Thanks, Romo. I love having Romanowski on. Really impressive. He comes on the podcast once a year, and he wanted to come on now with the momentum coming off the win against Kansas City. We're now joined by one of the great Buffalo Bills of all time. He's in their Ring of Honor. They're all-time players on their anniversary team of 50 years. The great Steve Tasker joins us from CBS. Steve, thanks for coming on. And the Bills are now winning games this year that they found a way to lose in the past.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, when Mike Evans and when he caught that ball, I'd heard that when that happened, there's, you know, a little percentage of the fans decided it was time for them to go get a head start on traffic. There was like 3.5 minutes to go in the game. They went down by 7. It was the largest time. It was their largest deficit in the entire game. And, you know, they decided, a lot of people thought that was it, just like you. Those are games that this team never won. And for the first time, you know, or not really for the first time, but surprisingly, Tyrod Taylor leads them on a 3 or 4 play drive, 75-yard drive, ends up in the end zone, and they're all of a sudden asking, oh, my gosh, we might have scored too quick. And as it happens, you know, then the turnover happens, and the Bills end up winning a field goal, winning it with a field goal in the last minute. So a lot of things happen, but you're right. This is a different kind of football team. Tyrod Taylor has fostered a lot of goodwill, not only in his locker room in the building, but also in the fan base. And people are starting to believe in him.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. Fans who didn't believe in the beginning are starting to believe more and more with Tyrod Taylor. What have you seen with his growth, Steve? We know he can run and make plays outside the pocket, but if you can grade him as a pocket passer and how he's making plays on third down when he has to do it in the air.
Well, he's average at best. When he stands in the pocket and tries to make throws, he's average at best. There's no question about it. When he becomes way above average is when he buys time, because he does do something really well. He buys time, extends the play, and keeps his eyes down the field. And also, anytime a team plays man coverage against the Bills, they run the risk of Tyrod Taylor getting out of the pocket and running up behind the defensive backs. He snapped off a couple of double-digit yardage runs yesterday that were really difference makers. I mean, one of them was like 28 yards that he snapped off. When you play man coverage, that's what you're doing. You know, if those D linemen, the four rush guys, don't get a hand on him, they're not going to catch him, and everybody else is accounted for, and he's running all by himself. He picks his spots to do that very well. That's one of the positive things he also does. And so, you know, all that said, with one last little caveat, he doesn't turn it over. All of a sudden, the Bills are a pretty tough out. When he can do all those things, they're a pretty tough team to beat.
Steve Tasker's our guest, and with Deontay Thomas coming off a big game, Thompson's a really good player, and then Shady McCoy. What do you think is the identity of the offense for the Buffalo Bills? You just did a great job breaking down everything Tyrod Taylor does, but when they go into a game with a game plan, what is their number one goal on offense?
Well, their engine is Tom McCoy. He's the heartbeat of the engine, and they run the football first. McCoy is extremely good. He's still shifty. He's very slippery. He makes a lot of guys miss, makes something out of nothing. His complementary back is Mike Tolbert, who was the fullback in Carolina, who he dropped 20 pounds. They made him the backup back here, and he couldn't be more different than LeSean McCoy. McCoy is a slippery, fast, scat back, elusive pass-catching running back. Mike is a hammer. And the complementary style in which they use those guys has worked extremely well. On the outside, some guys that make – they don't really make plays on the outside. I mean, he'll throw it once in a while to the tight end. But mostly the big plays happen when Taylor extends the play and the coverage gets lost in the confusion and somebody comes open. And that's their passing game.
Steve Tasker is our guest. Steve, you've been following the Raiders and seeing them coming off a 12-win season. And if they didn't beat Kansas City on Thursday Night Football, this is a completely different trip for the Silver and Black to Buffalo as they stay on the East and go to Florida to take on the Dolphins. A big spot for Amari Cooper and Derek Carr going into Buffalo with the season still on the line as they're trying to get back to .500.
You're exactly right. I mean, this is a team that had great expectations and should have. I mean, they're good, they're talented, but there's no question they did win a lot of close games last year. They're struggling to get back to that point this year. I don't think there's any reason to panic, no question, but they've got to start playing better and more consistently on both sides of the football to get back to where they were a year ago.
Give me your analysis on Khalil Mack. Every chance I get a chance to see him, I compare him to Lawrence Taylor. The comparison now is to Von Miller. Just Mack from Buffalo playing college football at Buffalo, and the Raiders were fortunate to get him. He's their franchise player.
Yeah, and he deserves to be. He's all of that. He's a great speed rusher off the outside, plays with great leverage. Now he's not a big, massive guy. Lawrence Taylor was a big dude. Big and fast as well, and nobody had ever seen an athlete like that at that spot, and that's one of the reasons he was so dominant. Khalil is also extremely fast, great. He's got great awareness, great skills. He's got a great repertoire of pass moves. He doesn't just go, he doesn't try and beat you off the edge, and he doesn't just bull rush you. He's got a couple of moves, and he's athletic enough to, you know, almost treat it like it's a game of tag with the left tackle or right tackle, whichever he's rushing against. But yeah. There's no question they need, I would say, if it's not so much Khalil Mack as the fact that he needs somebody else to step up and maybe take some attention away from him. You can't win a game with one guy rushing the passer, and I think they could use some help for Khalil on the other side.
We'll wrap it up with Steve Tasker from CBS, Bills legend. If I would have told you at training camp that the Bills would be tied in the loss column after six games with the Patriots, what would you have said?
I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, the word about the Patriots, I mean, we all thought they looked horrible, and they did. They looked horrible on opening night against the Chiefs. We didn't know how good the Chiefs were going to be. They're very good. In fact, the Chiefs, I don't know if they can keep it up for 16 weeks. So I think Raider fans can take that to heart. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs can play as good as they have played for 6 weeks for 10 more weeks. Having said that, that's nothing, taking nothing away from the Patriots. We knew they were going to improve. They're never the same team at the beginning of the at the middle of the season as they were at the beginning of the season, and they won't be the same team at the end of the season they were at this point of the season. They're going to be better, and they're going to be harder and harder and harder to beat, and you're going to have a better handle on what they can and can't do. But that still means you got to go out and play mistake-free to beat them. So, yeah, I still think for the time being, everybody's still going to be chasing the Patriots until Bill Belichick is retired and Tom Brady's in a rocking chair.
Steve, last one. You were drafted by the Oilers, then you came to the Bills, and you had this legendary career. Do you have a specific Raiders memory? Al Davis, a specific player, a specific game that you just remember that when the name Raiders come up, you always think of that one moment?
Well, we had a ton of really very important games with the Raiders, and I remember I played in a Pro Bowl after the 1990 Super Bowl 25. Art Shell and his staff were out at the Pro Bowl, and all my guys and I came out after we got beaten in the Super Bowl by the Giants. It was the first time I actually got a chance to rub up against a bunch of Raiders legends like Freddie Biletnikoff and Art Shell and the rest of those guys, and I'll never forget how bummed I was that they were such great dudes. You know, it's always easy to dredge up a bunch of hatred for guys you think are bad guys, but when you get a chance to play for them and with them and compete with them and find out they're great guys, it's kind of hard to dredge up the emotional content to hate them in a game from then on. So I'll always remember how great it was to play for those Raiders, for that Raiders staff, how much fun it was getting to meet and talk with Al Davis. For all the things that have been said about the Raider organization and all the bitter rivalries that go across the league, you know, I'll always remember those guys as being stand-up guys, and it was a bunch of guys who it would have been a privilege to play with and against. So it was a privilege to play against them. So that's the kind of the feeling I have towards the Raiders. A lot of games, though. I remember we beat them in a championship game to go to our first Super Bowl, and it was a 51-3 win for us. sorry to bring that up, but I think that's one of the games that still in this region in Buffalo, people still look at that as being the high point of that franchise.
No doubt. I really respect your work as a broadcaster and a heck of a career as a player. Thanks for doing this, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Guys, I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
Always appreciate Steve Tasker. What a player. Talk about a guy who put his body on the line to do everything and anything to make it in this league and become a perennial Pro Bowler. We wrap it up, as always, by going back up to Alameda. Senior writer for the Silver and Black, Eddie Pascal, joins us. And, Eddie, let's get going here and talk about how the team this week adjusted with Marshawn Lynch being gone for this game going into Buffalo.
Well, I think first things first, in terms of having healthy bodies, they did promote Elijah Hood from the practice squad today. So he's going to be on the 53 heading into Sunday's game. And I think we're going to see a lot more, you know, no shocker here of Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. I mean, these are two guys that have kind of handled that scat back kind of role for head coach Jack Del Rio and his group. But I think that we're going to see a heavy dose of those two. And don't forget about Jermaine Olawale, too.
You know, Eddie, I think it's interesting because I want to make sure I'm careful. People are saying it's a blessing in disguise. It gets the smaller scat backs in there with more touches there. I know how important Marshawn can be in Buffalo if it's a goal line situation. It could have came down to, it did come down to a goal line situation against Kansas City, but the Raiders are going to pass and go down that way. But I like the matchup now in Buffalo, especially with DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard catching the ball from Carr out of the backfield, because Carr had a successful game throwing downfield. I think that's going to open it up underneath against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, head coach Jack Del Rio said as much on Monday. He goes, look, Jalen and DeAndre provide us a different look than Marshawn does. Now, is Marshawn, when he's rocking and rolling, one of the premier power backs in the NFL? Absolutely. But Jalen and DeAndre do provide that change of pace. And, you know, we saw last week that Derek is at his best when he's slinging the ball around. And, you know, I think that's something that Jalen and DeAndre can bring to this offense. They can be split out wide. They can be more versatile out of the backfield than maybe a Marshawn can. Now, will they certainly miss having Marshawn if it's fourth and one and they need a hard yard and a half? Absolutely. But, you know, these guys do bring a different skill set than Beastbone does.
Amari Cooper, talk about his confidence, AFC Player of the Week offensively. What does that do for him? He wasn't getting beat up by the media and the fans, but obviously fans and the media were concerned with the drops there. How does he build on that and have another big game in Buffalo?
You know, I think Amari just has to stay being Amari. I mean, granted, he didn't have the start to this season that he wanted. I think the coaching staff wanted, that really anyone wanted or expected to see from him. But he broke out in a big way under the lights against the Kansas City Chiefs. Think about this. He had more receiving yards in Thursday's game than he did the entire season leading up to it. So I think for Amari, it's just a matter of staying focused, staying even keel, which is, you know, something that he tends to do, and just keep rocking and rolling and keep feeding off that positive energy. Obviously, Derek made it a point of going after Amari and getting him involved against the Chiefs. And, you know, I expect that to continue this weekend in Buffalo.
Yeah, this is a big spot. You're around this team all the time. The emotion, what has it been like coming off that win against Kansas City? The 1967 team was honored before the game. There were celebrities on the sideline. I think it's a Mount Rushmore game in the history of Oakland, behind the Heidi game and Sea of Hands. People are going to be talking about that for generations. Eddie, it's too big of a win to not win at Buffalo. A loss at Buffalo and the Raiders are right back to where they were before Kansas City. It feels like another must-win game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Del Rio talks all the time. He goes, we need to start stacking wins. And you look at the way the record is right now, and you look at the remaining schedule for the Silver and Black, and, you know, this team needs to win games. I don't think it's any secret there that they need to get rolling, and they need to start putting a little winning streak together. But I think Jack, one thing he does really well is he goes, look, you can't win three games until you win two games, and you can't win two games until you win one. The Raiders have won one game, and was it a huge win? Was it about as big of a must-win as you can have at that point in the season? Absolutely. But you can't win two until you win one. So I think that the focus right now is squarely on the Bills, and after the Bills, it'll shift to the Dolphins and so on and so forth. But, yeah, this is a big game on Sunday. This is a big game. This is a big test for this Raiders team, and I'm looking forward to see how they respond.
And a big test for us, because we'll take the podcast and we'll go on the road, not only from Buffalo to Sarasota but Miami. So big 11-12 days for the Silver and Black. Thanks, Eddie. Always appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll see you later, Brick.
Thanks, Eddie. Always appreciate your time. So I'm off to Buffalo. Excited about this. Can't wait to see the Raider Nation on the road. Next week, I'll be coming to you with the podcast live from Sarasota, Florida, as the Raiders will be training in between the Buffalo game and Sunday night football in Miami. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. Thanks for joining us on the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.